Thanks for downloading this IMSA Radio podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by visiting IMSAradio.com or search for IMSA Radio wherever they get their podcasts. The Porsche Carrera Cup North America on IMSA Radio.
It's a beautiful evening here at Sebring. We've got official sunset around about 20 minutes time as we're getting ready for race two of the weekend for the Porsche Carrera Cup North America. This the birthplace of endurance racing in North America, playing host to the 72nd running of the Mobil 1 12 Hours of Sebring this weekend, right in the middle of the Florida Panhandle, 3¾ miles, history at every corner, literally. Le Mans Curve, Gurney Bend, Bishop Bend, Fangio Chicane, Collier Curve, and of course the Ullman Straight. Action areas, turn one, it's fast, it's furious. There is a passing opportunity there. Much heavier braking at turn 7, turn 10, possibly turn 13 as well. And then down to turn 17, two corners really, with an opportunity to make that last gasp charge to the checkered flag on the last time around. It's happened before here plenty of times. Hello everybody, my name is John Hindorf and Shea Adam is alongside me in the IMSA Global Broadcast Centre. Absolutely fabulous evening. We've already had one race at this weekend and it was a belter. The usual run down to the first corner with Luke Hartog leading. Alan Metney getting a little bit of a help into the side, and that was one of the major contenders in his class, really out before we got going. Big high side for the 23 car of Wallace. That may have been a bit of help as well. That was going to be looked at after the race. Carlos de Quesada spinning around the number 22. Just across the front down at the hairpin. At the end of the race, a familiar set of colours. Racing for Children's and Kelly Moss with Luke Hartog taking his first victory. James Sofranis winning Pro-Am. And Matt Holcomb in the Mystery Machine with his dog. It's Scooby as far as I'm concerned. I know that's not the dog's name. In the newly named Masters class. Good evening, Shay. I am really looking forward to this. It's been a long time since we've had a Porsche IMSA race. I think we're going back to when we were at COTA. And Jeremy and I did a race at this time of day into the darkness hours, or at least into the gloaming. The car's already looking great. Despite the fact that it's going to get quite a little bit more dark than this before we see the checkered flag.
Good evening, John, and welcome to the 50th Porsche Carrera Cup North America race. This is already 50. Number one was here in Sebring International Raceway, 2021. It was victory for Seb Priu back then. It was Kelly Moss once again. So a very familiar team, and the team that actually won the race yesterday, but only two drivers in the field have contested every single one of those 50 previous starts. John Goetz, who is in the number 57 for Kelly Moss, and also with Kelly Moss, Efren Castro in the Racing for Children's livery as well, number 65. He's racing in the Pro-Am class. Well, we're doing a little bit of housekeeping. This is the last race for Troy Bundy. He has been the overseer of the One Make Championships in North America. He's going to be replaced by Christoph von Liel. Attempted to be replaced by Christoph. Big shoes to fill, Christoph. Ryan Anselmo will take over as Motorsports Race Series Specialist, overseeing the day-to-day of Porsche Carrera Cup North America, and Lauren Elkins will continue to be the manager of GT Customer Support. So 50 races in, and a lot of big things to celebrate for today's race, but we don't know yet who is going to be the race winner.
A joint record number of starters. We've had 40 cars here before. We have 40 here again. That bears testament to just how much hard work has gone in over the previous three seasons for Porsche Carrera Cup North America. We thought we might get 18 cars from Vysak for that first season. Somehow, we managed to get, I think, 24 or 25, and the grid has steadily grown since then. It was not because there weren't people wanting to come and enter. It was because we weren't sure how many cars Germany would pass to Carrera Cup North America, which was the first Carrera Cup to run the new 992 spec, which we still enjoy massively with that flat six, normally aspirated 4-litre engine. Let's take a quick look at the starting grid. Pole position for the
Gus Burton car.
For the Gus Burton car in the front of the field, and he's got Luke Hartog alongside him, who battled massively yesterday to get that victory in Pro-Am in 13th position. Alan Metney will want to make up from yesterday. Car wasn't too badly damaged. And in the Masters category, 21st position for Chris Bellomo, who was on pole yesterday but had to fight pretty hard to get back to the sharp end. Dropped down as low as fourth or fifth, I think, at one stage.
I had a good chat with Alan Metney this morning and his coach, Andrew Davis, who had to remind him, Alan, it's a long season. Remember, you're in this for the full season championship. You know how to win this. And Alan Metney is saying, yep, I'm just ready to get going tonight.
Two wide and 20 rows deep. Headlights on, ready to go racing for the second time this weekend as Fast Friday comes to a close with Stuttgart's finest, Vysak's finest, and Porsche Carrera Cup North America's finest. Paul Sitter then, the number 20, on driver's left. The yellow and white car. Very slow run to the line, but it looks spectacular. The sun going down behind Mission Foods' Sunset Bend. This is going to be a shot for the photographers down at turn one. Green flag is in the air. And Gus Burton jumps away. Hartog a little bit slower off the line. 1, 2, 3 wide, maybe 4 wide further back. That might have to be looked at as they go down to turn one.
They were 3 wide before they even got to start finish. So somebody moved out of column formation as Luke Hartog is off the track, manages to pull it back on, but that's going to open the door to second to Ryan Yardley, who says thank you very much. And now Michael McCarthy is looking up the inside. He wants to sniff at a podium position.
Tiny mistake through turn one when you run up there from the start. It is almost flat out now.
That's James Sofronis, who's gone off, as has Angel Benitez, with some significant damage to the rear of his car. Also off is the 82. That's Madeline Stewart out of New Zealand. She's had some grief with the back of her car. As we stay green, start is under review. It is Gus Burton checking out front, but now Ryan Yardley with some competition from Luke Hartog trying to make up after that bad start. Oh, Madeline Stewart's car is going to need recovering. It doesn't appear as though it will be able to move all of the debris with it. Big hit to the back.
That might actually be a red flag to clear that away.
We have
full
gone
course yellow. Full course yellow, and that is absolutely the right decision. You cannot have people at speed.
I was talking to Preston at dinner, actually, and he said he was in charge of the flags. He was the main flagger for tonight's event. And what a challenge it's going to be when the sun has gone down and there's 40 sets of identical headlights coming at you.
Yeah, Preston on the starter stand right opposite us.
What now happened to Madeline?
See if we can pick the bones out of the start. Breaking in the middle of the corner is never good, and that's what Luke had to do. There was no contact between him and Gus Burton. Just ran out of room on driver's right. I'm pretty certain that they didn't come together, no. And then he was on the dirt and bouncing around. And then behind, a really good move by Ryan Yardley to dive through and take the position. Now, what happened further back? There'd already,
been
contact early on.
Angel Benitez has had rear contact as well, though, so I don't think he was the perpetrator necessarily. Madeline Stewart already, when she came into her camera shot there, had the damage to the back of her car. She didn't lose it until further around.
So Madeline had, I think, maybe 2 hits on that number 82 car. Good news, she's out of the car and looking somewhat ruefully at the back. I think she may have had help there because she arrived at turn 3-4 already with damage.
bits of debris sparkling off through the air.
There she goes. She gets pushed around. And there's two hits on that car.
Was that Sofronis pushing her around? Because correct. I had seen him going off the track in the initial shot.
I think so. That's a very, very, very unlucky for Madeline Stewart, who's the only car out of those three that were involved there. Two incidents there. So two incidents, definitely.
Thumbs up from a mechanic who just ran out to the wall from GMG to indicate that James Sofronis' car doesn't have any visible bad damage to it. So that's good news for that team and for the race winner for two of the races that we had at Rennsport. There is a lot of debris laying around the track deck.
Yeah, lots of big pieces. It didn't look that big of a hit, but the car being spun round and then hit for a second time. Now, that is at turn 13. That's a much further around. That's a fairly large lump of, I think that is part of the rear clip.
Yeah.
Of somebody's car.
Maybe Angel, because he was able to continue around in the number 5 for FMS Motorsport.
There's no chance of that of Madeline's car, the number 82, being anything other than lifted onto a flatbed.
I have to say Madeline's car is one of my favorite liveries this year. And I'm not going to say who the other ones are because I don't want to risk any of them getting in any accidents off that. But we do have a big field this year.
Friday night is party night here. Spring break, turn 10, stuff of legend on the scaffolding. And they'll all be tuned in around the circuit on 100.9 FM, listening to us on the PA as well as around the world on imsa.tv and the video player at imsaradio.com. And this is a great time of night to go motor racing. We've got about 10 minutes before official sunset tonight. And the Mobil 1 50th anniversary looming large for the race at the weekend. And big partner to Porsche down through the years, of course. 35 minutes on the clock, and it's gone eerily quiet. Expecting to hear somewhere near 40 flat sixes. But of course, they're on the other side of the track to us here. I'll give you a rundown of what's going on. At the front of the field, Gus Burton from Ryan Yardley, from Luke Hertog, from Michael McCann, Alex Sedgwick to sixth, seventh Michael Cooper, and the top 10 made up by Zachary Vanier, Colin Kaminsky, and Jimmy Libra, with Dan Clark in 10th position in the silver and green, number 64. A lot of debris being dropped by somebody's car. In the classes, Alan Metney's in 14th position and leads Pro-Am from Pedro Torres, who's behind him in the safety car crew. Then there's Sabre Cook in between those two and the third place in Pro-Am, which is Marco Cerroni. Chris Palomo is up to 18th in the Masters lead, and he's got four cars between himself and Carlos de Quezada. And Jeff Morsing is then next up, and Jeff's Pro-Am. Who's the next master? Richard Edge. And Kyle Washington and Scott Bliner, Mark Varmi and John Getz for the Masters category. That's how it stands at the moment.
Masters category simply means the drivers are over the age of 50. They elect to run in the Masters category. You could run in Pro-Am, which is for drivers between the ages of 35 and 50 as of January 1st, 2024, meaning I've got an extra year built in to then move up a class. So very, very happy about that. And then Pro is for anybody below the age of 35 as of January 1st of this year. Chris Palomo's into the pit lane. That should not be happening.
Well, that's the leader.
Yeah.
In class.
Keep an eye on that and see if they do any service to his car. Angel Benitez was in the pit lane. He has rejoined well ahead of the train.
They're putting it
on a flatbed.
Yeah, but have they put a rear wheel on that car on the left-hand side? I thought it was missing the rear wheel. That's Madeline's car, isn't it?
Maybe they didn't want to drag it along the ground, so they used the airbags. And they are checking the left rear and the right rear wheel on Belomo's car. He's fired it back up. It's still on the air jacks. Now it drops down, and they're sending him. Maybe his tire pressures weren't reading correctly.
Or maybe he's run over some debris and he was worried about a puncture. There are tyre pressure monitoring sensors on that.
The ones on my car never work right.
I see. You need a Porsche.
I do. White. I'm not going to argue that.
White headlights and white, more importantly, the white, four white LED running light spots, signifying that that is a Masters class car. It's yellow for Pro-Am and sort of a ready orange for the Pro categories. Attention to detail.
Yeah.
As the cars are still running around. Now, look, you and I could be just as good as these guys right now.
I would be on it. Yeah. Fast lap.
Yeah. I could be driving around like that.
Probably because I would have qualified toward the back, so I'd have a little bit more room to catch up to the safety car. But that's okay.
It is starting now to get dark enough that the headlights on the Porsche Carrera Cup cars are shining onto the track, and you can see what's going on. Actually, do you know what? They've done a really good job.
They have.
Getting the Porsche Columbus supported car onto that flatbed without causing it any damage. A rather sharp end, I'm afraid, to Madeline's race. Madeline Stewart, Kiwi, and has quite a bit of experience, not necessarily at this sort of level, but is a very accomplished driver in her own right.
Somebody bringing a snowman to Florida for spring break?
Of course. Snowbirds, at least, down here.
Well.
Should mention, of course, that this is the first weekend of a new season, and we welcome back Yokohama to Porsche and the top class for 2024. They've been involved for quite some time with the Sprint Challenge, which is the next level down, but does have the 992 type cars in it, and it rekindles the relationship and the partnership that we had up until, 3 years ago in the, what was then called the Porsche Yokohama GT3 Challenge. Nice to have Yokohama back, and it means that for the first time in a long while on an IMSA weekend, we've had this weekend 3 different tyre manufacturers to go with the 16 different car manufacturers in the IMSA paddock, with nearly 200 cars, 220 haulers, which if you lined them up would be pretty much all the way around the track, over 3.5 miles worth of HGVs, as we would call them, semi-trailers, truck and trailer units.
Our schedule for this year, because you talked about the 2024 series, involves a new championship as well, because we have the Andile Cup, of which this is the first weekend. Basically, you want to come run Porsches, but you don't feel like dealing with all of the falderal involved in a Formula One weekend, you run the Andile Cup. What tracks do you get? Sebring, Watkins Glen, Road America, Indianapolis Motor Speedway, and Michelin Raceway Road Atlanta. Yes, please. If you would like the full season championship, add into that Miami, Montreal, and Circuit of the Americas.
That's interesting, because that's effectively 2 street tracks and a permanent road course for the 3 events.
I am biased toward the Miami one because I'm from Miami. I would not say that that's a street track just because they built it in a parking lot.
Yeah, but it's not. Neither is it a permanent road circuit, is it?
No, it's a permanent parking lot. It's serving as a parking lot right now for the tennis event.
Okay.
The Miami Open.
It's not a purpose-built racetrack.
It's not a purpose-built racetrack.
All right.
Yes, I can see.
All right,
yes,
okay, so let's call
see.
It a temporary track.
Temporary track.
2 temporary tracks and a permanent road circuit.
I like that.
Okay. Like an old married couple, aren't we?
The lights are out too long.
We have. It is here, Adam and John Heindorf. Thanks for joining us. We'll get back to racing in just a moment or two. Hearing from race control, them asking the safety car to pick up the pace a little bit, and the safety car lights have gone out, so it's now down to Gus Burton, MDK Motorsports. Gus, a young man from the south of England, Essex lad.
I have one more addition to this 50th race. Kelly Moss, JDX, and Top are the only teams to have run in every race.
All 50.
All 50.
Wow.
And Wright would have been in that, but they aren't running this season.
Yeah. Yeah. So they have run 48.
Correct.
Of the 50 until they started this year.
It's like you've been to almost every state.
Yeah. True. Well, the white car The white safety car has pulled away, and we've got some 10-second penalties coming, and this will be costly with so much safety car here.
Very big penalties, because Chris Bellomo, Pedro Torres, and then who's the third one? Matt Holcomb have all been given 10-second penalties for a false start. Oy.
Well, Pedro Torres second in Pro-Am at the moment. Chris Bellomo was on pole but had to pit for that tyre issue on the rear of his car. That's not going to do his charge back any good. And where is Matt Holcomb? He was right up there in his category.
Seventh in Masters at
so
the start
of
the caution.
Back. Yeah, so he's yeah. dropped back. So he's going to have to work pretty hard.
All right.
All right. You ready for this shit?
I am. I don't know if Gus Burton is, because he has Ryan Yardley right up his tailpipes. Let's see. Oh, he goes very early. Gus Burton learning the American way of racing and learning it the steep way, whereas Ryan Yardley's had a year to practice it. Luke Hartog acting like he's already an expert, looking to make a pass before we even get back to the green flag.
It's going to be tight on the line, but that's fine. The green flag was out. Yep. Ryan Yardley just a little bit sleepy as the sun sinks below the horizon behind turn 17, and through goes Hartog back into second place. That's where he started. He threw it away at turn one, lap one. He's got it back. It's turn one on lap number four.
Efren Castro's into the pit lane.
What is going on in the classes?
That's one of our Pro-Am champions. Twice he's won the Pro-Am championship in the 3 years that it's existed. The year that he didn't win, he lost it by a single point.
And this again, they're looking at the back of the car.
They're changing the wing angle.
Has he had some kind of contact with something? Has something worked loose? You wouldn't dial wing out in the middle of the race. It's just not even considered.
Not when the race only has 25 minutes to go.
Well, extraordinary goings on. So Gus Burton leads by nearly a second. That was a really good restart. And as I say, I think Ryan Yardley was caught slightly unawares. Certainly couldn't follow the Englishman through turn 17 as closely as he wanted to. Tower turn 13, kicking up the dust as usual as the Yokohama tyres on the left rear fall off the edge of the curb there. Ryan Yardley then in second position. Might be just gaining on the leader a tiny little bit. They head down the Ullman Straight towards the end of lap five.
These liveries just pop even better under the lights. This is magnificent stuff. Pedro Torres making a pass on Marco Cerrone. The two of them having it out for the Pro-Am honors. It was Cerrone who very nearly won the championship a couple years ago. He's actually got more championships in Porsches in Canada. Back when we were running the GT3 Cup, he was the perennial gold champion. I think he won it five or six times before he actually stopped racing in that, and we developed the Carrera Cup. Oh, around the outside for Speedy Dan Clark. He's trying to keep ahead of Colin Kaminsky, but Kaminsky in the 77 makes it down the inside going through turn three. Can he hold on to it, though? Yes, he can. Very nice move from Colin Kaminsky, a young man whose experience is an open wheel, passing Dan Clark, another youngish man whose experience is an open wheel, but from a different generation.
And by the way, for those of you here at the track, just after the end of this race, we've arranged something very special for you.
Uh-oh.
It's a very special fireworks display. If you look down over turn one at 3 minutes before eight local time, you'll see one of the SpaceX launches going up. We do like to, you know, make sure everything goes well. Another pit caller, Shay. And, oh, problems.
Jeff Mosing.
Jeff Mosing in the Mosing Motor Cars colours, the rhubarb and custard colours, as Roberto Tottino, by the way, for ACI came into the pits as well in that white car with almost the spider's web on it, the number 26 machine. Jeff's trying to get out of the way. He's an old pro, and I mean that in the nicest possible sense. He's trying to get off the circuit and into a safe place so he doesn't affect everybody else's race. And
what a classy guy.
Yeah, behind the wall at turn seven. Very classy move indeed. Frankly, though, I would expect nothing else of Mr. Morsi. Top bloke.
Speaking of top blokes.
22 minutes to go.
Gus Burton is trying very hard to replicate exactly what happened yesterday from Luke Hartog, because that would mean that they would leave Sebring tied on championship points.
Exactly so. Now the evening time is drawing in, and there's a certain sense of, oh, should we really be doing this, racing in the dark? It always gets me a little bit like that. I love it. Fastest laps in the race. Gus Burton in Pro. It is Kaminski in Pro Am.
All three are Pro.
They're the top three in Pro. And Luke Hartog as well, a little bit off the pace. We're talking fractions of a second, though.
Alan Metney has gone to his rightful spot, which is at the head of the Pro-Am class. And I say rightful because he's been there for years.
And he has got the fastest lap in that category. It's Matt Holcomb who's got the fastest Masters lap at the moment with a 2:08.627.
With the pending 10-second penalty hanging over his head.
I mean, the problem is the cars are so close together after such a long intervention by the safety car. Yeah, good news, bad news for him. He'll be able to pick his way through from the back of the field, and he's doing that rather well, but it means that there aren't 10-second gaps between all these cars here. So all of that hard work is going to have to be done, and I'm not sure how far up the field he will get.
Jeff Mosing's actually gotten out of his Porsche now and is taking off his helmet. I think he's going to enjoy the rest of this evening with the corner workers. It's the kind of guy Jeff is.
There's plenty of... there'll be plenty of offers of refreshment, shall I say, from behind turn seven, which is where he is. It's a great place to watch. There's a little banking area there that you can stand up on the top of and look over the top of the fence. It is Friday evening at Sebring. Traditionally, spring break party here before the race tomorrow. Into the final corner, the number 98 red and white car with a little bit of Alan Sedgwick, just with a little bit of aerodynamic disadvantage, because the bonnet, the luggage compartment cover, is just flapping around on the front of that car. Now, we've seen this happen once or twice before, and if the air gets under that shear, it can fold that back. It's a carbon fibre reinforced plastic hood on that car, same as on the GT3 road car. So we'll keep an eye on that. Is it when he runs behind someone, or is it when he's running in clear air? Can't answer that question, but he's going to lose a position here.
Wow.
Sedgwick is Michael McCann in the red McCann racing car. He's found a huge amount of speed. It goes Buffalo Gals round the outside, then switches to the inside for turn seven in that McCann racing machine. Excellent stuff. And trying to follow him through there is the number nine of Zach Vanier for JDX Racing. Alex Sedgwick,
and
dropping two places.
Zach capitalized brilliantly. Cedric with a very brave maneuver, but ultimately when he was coming out of the turn seven hairpin, had to go four wheels off because there wasn't enough racetrack left. So he's got dirt on his Yokohama tires. Now he needs to clean that off before he has another attack. But Zachary Vanier looking at the back of Michael McCann going, I'd really like to get up to the podium positions. Can you either go a little bit faster or give me a shot? Put me in, coach. I can do it.
At the front of the field, the gap has grown to just over a second. And that, whilst not comfortable, is certainly a decent gap at the moment.
Carlos de Quezada is now leading the Masters class, and he has two cars between himself and next in class, Kyle Washington. Then third is Mark Vame. Oh, what a great livery from Michael de Quezada from this season. I mentioned it in the first race. He's got black and silver, and then splashes of red and blue down the car. A very Americana feel to this livery.
Welcome to our broadcast team as well, to Mike G, who's giving us the extra on-screen information for Porsche Carrera Cup, part of our hard-working production team at the new facilities at Concord, North Carolina. Guys still reveling in that new production facility smell up there. just like buying a brand new car. Hartog by 1.1 seconds.
Ah, but new car smell is different from new Porsche smell.
Wow.
Actually, any Porsche smells good.
New Porsche smell never goes away.
It really doesn't.
It's true. I've got a 1997 car that still smells of new Porsche. 8 and 9 together then. Down to turn number 7. And that is the battle for 4th and 5th position. McCann and Vanier. New fastest lap for Luke Hartog as well.
Valuable because it steals a point away potentially from Gus Burton and gives him a 2-point buffer in the championship if positions were to stay as they were for the next 16 minutes and 32 seconds.
Gus Burton's not hanging about. He's just put his own fastest lap of the race in with a 2:06.2. But Hartog's taking 0.2 out of him. Doesn't sound much, but now he's within a second. Now, it's not Formula One, so there's no DRS, but he will be getting a little bit of drafting assistance once you get within around about a second to a second and a half. Great battle for fourth position. Coming through the S's, the red number 8 is that of Michael McCann of McCann Racing. Effectively running his own team here. And that, at this level, is a very difficult thing to do, to get the full performance out of a car when you're doing a bit of spannering.
Last year, McCann Racing had a few cars that they were running, just the one in the Pro class, but they had a couple in AM, right, as it was. This year, just the one Porsche. They don't have the big tent. They don't have the big budget for the catering and to compete with some of the bigger teams. They've got a little pop-up that you would find at a kid's soccer match.
2:05.6 is now the new benchmark at the front of the field. That's 0.2 the other way for Gus Burton, who just ekes out the 1.2 seconds. But all of the top 8 have just put their fastest lap of the race. Make that the top 9. There's Jimmy Liebrecht in the number 2 ACI Motorsports car, goes through in 9th with a 2:06.665. Cracking stuff. Temperature starting to fall a little bit on the track and in the air as the sun goes down.
Only 15 minutes to go, and a little bit of a funny story about the temperature. Yesterday, Luke Hartog knew that it was going to be hot, but he doesn't like the idea of driving with a cool suit. So the team gave him bags of ice and poked holes in them. Luke put them inside of his fire suit. Well, it worked great until it didn't, and they all melted, and then his fire suit was just completely drenched. After the race, Victoria Thomas, the team owner, sees him, goes to give him a hug, goes to sit down where he'd just been sitting, and sees this giant puddle and thinks, my goodness, this kid is dehydrating himself to the point of death. Until the team said, no, he.
Cool suits are great when they work, but when they don't, they basically just gently broil you.
Well, and I asked if that's what the bags of ice did to him, and the answer was, yeah. Basically.
10 seconds for a false start on the restart for two cars, one of them being Zach Vanier in the number 9, and the other one is the number 24.
That's Luke.
That's Luke Hartog in second place.
Oh, my goodness.
So that is second and fifth.
So 10-second penalty would drop him down to 12th right now.
That is huge. That is on the restart. Now, did they jump before the green flag? That's all I can think. Another fastest lap by Hartog. But at the moment, that's going to drop him way down.
He made a pass before the start-finish line, but that's allowed in IMSA. Not on the restarts, it's okay. On the initial start.
On the initial start, you've got to wait till the...
Well, you've got to stay in your column, and if your column is moving better, then you're not penalized for passing someone in another column.
New fastest lap, 2:05.340 for Hartog. But right now, 10 seconds would take him down
out of the
from
points.
Second. Yeah, exactly.
Now it's damage limitation. Now it's trying to get an extra point because you don't know if you're going to get 1, 2, 4 points out of a race where you're currently sitting in a position where you should be walking away with 20.
Wow. That could be massive for the championship. I know that sounds ridiculous to say.
In race two.
but you can't afford to have a bad race or a bad weekend anymore. See if we can work out what happened. It was a big jump by Gus Burton. Side by side coming off the corner,
green flag is waving. He doesn't actually make the pass until well after the start-finish line.
Is he not allowed to go side by side?
No, you are. It's not single file restarts.
Yeah, exactly. Right, okay. Well, let's remember that race control have way more information than we do. The other car being the number 9, Zach Vanier, who was the JDX Racing driver, who I have to say I wasn't looking for in that restart that we've just seen again. Let's pick up some of the battles in the classes. Alan Metney, number 99, with Marco Cironi right behind him, 15th and 16th overall. And Pedro Torres is only another 3/4 of a second back and has just put the fastest lap in for Pro-Am with a 2:07.0. He's coming. He took half a second out of the two cars in front of him. There goes Metney in the dark car. The green car in second place is Cironi, and then Torres.
Doesn't Torres have a 10-second penalty for a false start on the initial start?
Yes, 84, you're right. So it's not going to be him.
16.
So it's going to be Kenton. It's going to be Kenton King then, who's just another 8/10 back.
In his first weekend in this championship.
Eric Figueras doing some driver coaching for Kenton. It says that Kenton King is sponging it all up. Very impressed with his attitude. Spoke to Eric earlier on. We had him in the booth for one of the other races.
Kenton's a man who started racing during COVID because he wasn't allowed to go be in the company. And so he had to find another way to expend his energy and decided that driving race cars might be a fun thing to try. Tried it, realized he wasn't terrible at it, and started to do it more and more.
Matt Holcomb's another driver with a penalty, isn't he? But he's worked his way up to second in Masters with the fastest lap in that category. Coming down to 10 minutes to go. The penalties will be reflected on the timing screen at the end of the race as the individual cars cross the line. So we should be able to give you a view. I'll be honest, keeping up with how many we've had, Five?
Yeah. Would you scroll back to the initial ones and just read off the numbers really quickly? Because I remember 16, Pedro Torres, 55, Matt Holcomb. We have 9, Zachary Vanier, 24, Luke Hartog. And there is one more. Chris Palomo, 68.
Yeah.
That's right.
Correct.
It's like reading off the lottery, which also is tonight. There's a Powerball drawing. If anyone wants to run in this championship.
I'll just check that back again.
There is now a nearly 2-second gap, first to second, in the pro category, 0.2 seconds in Pro-Am, and 2.1 seconds in the Masters.
Right. So, we got a 0-2 car here? Yes, we have.
We have a 2.
Yeah.
Jimmy Libre.
Right. He's got a penalty.
He's got a penalty, okay.
10 seconds. The 11 only got a warning. And trying to look further back to see where we are. No, sorry, that's the wrong race. That hasn't updated. My apologies, forget that.
I think it's just the 5 cars.
I think you're right. So, into the last 8 minutes. Very dark on the far side of the circuit. These cars with full lightning kits and needing them. They haven't had any nighttime practice, so not sure how they've set their headlights up, but they all look pretty decent, to be honest.
Hey, it's just like Bathurst.
Yeah.
It's the actual inverse of Bathurst. The 12-hour, which begins in the darkness. No practice early in the morning to get used to it. So the first 45 minutes are basically, which driver do we like the least? Let him start.
Who's got the best eyes?
Yep.
Who's eating the most carrots? Gus Burton still leads by a second and a half. Haven't seen much of him, but he's doing a very good job at the front of the field. Luke Hartog for Kelly Moss with a 10-second penalty hanging over him. In second, Ryan Yardley in third. Then Michael McCann number 8 car looked quick for a while. It hasn't been able to keep the speed up.
They did run a night session in the unofficial test to begin the season March 4th. Ah. That's when they set their headlights up.
Smart.
Thank you, Tom.
Tom Moore, the font of all Porsche Carrera Cup North America knowledge.
He says, but it did not get this dark.
It didn't get this dark. okay.
Dark-ish.
Yeah. Best laid plans, etc., etc.
Of mice and men.
Are mice well known for making well laid plans? I don't know. 6.5 to go past the palm trees that have been such a feature of the Mobile One 12 hours of Sebring down through the years. I think there are more of the palm trees this year. They look fabulous.
Please, guys, please just keep adding them at random and then taking them away and moving them slightly in case people are using
looks
them as brake markers.
Fabulous.
Oh, just brilliant.
It's a great atmosphere here, a real festival of motorsport. Looking like a record crowd this weekend. And despite the fact that WEC isn't here, we've got a bigger car count in terms of cars on track. I think we've got a bigger spectator count. Certainly speaking to management here over the last few days, their advanced ticket sales were well up on last year. So if that was Super Sebring, saying this morning to president of IMSA, John Doonan, maybe this is super duper Sebring. Side by side at turn 7, a little bit of hip and shoulder. Oh,
but Zach Vanier has a penalty pending. Alex Sedgwick needs to be told on the radio that is not That's a car not, you're battling.
No, absolutely. Sedgwick effectively already, I reckon, in fourth position. So he wants to get somewhere near to Michael McCann, and that could be a battle for the third spot on the podium.
Yep.
It doesn't say that on the timing screen at the moment, but that's how it will finish out with the 10 seconds applied.
I'm guessing that's Speedy Dan Clark, and now as he gets closer into the braking zone for 17, we can see. The reason I was guessing was because the neon stripe down the middle of the hood, Dan Clark is working very, very hard to try and keep Yves Baltus behind him. He just passed Yves coming in out of turn 16, down 17.
I love the fact that you can see how hard the brake discs are working on these cars and how much of the brake bias is at the front. Those are the rotors, the discs that are glowing. There's barely a little glow from the rear brakes, although can see a little bit of a heat haze from the centrally mounted exhausts on these flat 6 4-litre engines. This is what racing at night is all about. The number 20 MDK Motorsports Porsche. Gus Burton is probably 2.5, possibly 3 laps away from a victory. But Luke Hartog, although he has closed down, remember, has that 10-second penalty. Luke is driving it like he stole it. He's throwing it at the corners through turn 10 and 11. Ryan Yardley, 6 seconds away from the lead, 7 seconds away from the lead. Then another 4 seconds back is Michael McCann. I think he's in third in terms of the net situation.
Oh, it's close. It is so close right now. McCann needs to close in by about a second to guarantee that. And there is carnage out on the course. That is James Sophronis involved. I think that was Mark Kwame as well in the number 43. Yes, it turned 7. Sorry about that. Got so excited with everything else going on. Forgot to identify the corner. Richard Edge might have been in there as well.
That would make sense. They were roughly together.
Here we go. It's a moment looking down the inside. Yes, it was Richard Edge down the inside of Mark Kwame. They get spun around. James Sophronis goes off trying to avoid the carnage.
Angel Benitez was around them as well. I think he's picked his way through that. Not in the same category, of course. You're talking about Mark and Richard being in Masters. James Sophronis in Pro-Am.
And Angel on a drive back after the difficulty right at the very beginning of the race. And yes,
is that a puncture?
No, Kwame's carrying around, but I think he's got damage to the right rear of the car because he got climbed on by another car, in effect. He was spun around backwards. And
that's a tower turn.
Yeah, there's a lot of bodywork that's pushed in on the right rear of that car, dragging now on the Yokohama.
2.5 minutes to go. Back at the front of the field, I'm doing a quick bit of mental arithmetic about who is where and what is going to happen to the times. Gustav Burton with a second, half a second lead to Luke Hartov. So that's 10.5 seconds. I reckon Hartov could still be third here, you know, because he's put a real shift in the last 10 or 15 minutes. And it could yet keep him on the podium. Can't say the same for Zach, I'm afraid. Down in sixth, he's going to drop down to 12th place.
Richard Edge, who was the car who did the climbing over Mark Valme's car, he now has a right front issue, and he's going slowly down the backstretch, but he should be able to make it into the pit lane. That turn seven incident will be reviewed post-race, by the way.
Gus Burton needs to be told you can let him go. Do not fight him. There's no point. He is effectively 10.5 seconds behind you. It doesn't look like that because he's sitting about a car and a half length behind. It'll be white flag and 3.75 miles to go this time around. Here come the leaders into turn 17 for the penultimate time.
Preston, it's these two. Just to let you know, it's these two headlights that are coming at you.
There is the white flag. Final lap.
See, we're a team.
Yeah.
3.74 miles more around Hendricks Field.
Do you, if you're Gus, you let him go.
Yeah.
Just let him go. There's no sense in fighting him. The next car is 8.5 seconds, nearly 9 seconds back. That's Ryan Yardley, who's nailed on now for second place.
Unless you don't understand why the false start penalty was given, you're worried that they're going to argue it post-race and that maybe they would have it overturned, and you think, nope, you know what, we need to just beat them on the track too. That's a hard choice.
Flashing lights from Luke Hartog.
The
everybody
first
knows.
Time.
Yeah, that gives him an extra 30 horsepower. Not true. That statement may be complete fiction. So it's come down from nearly 2 seconds to 1.5 to 1 to 0.8 to 0.5, and now it's a visual gap.
Who's got the fast lap of the race right now, John? Who's
it
getting that bonus point?
Luke Hartog.
There we go.
Now, they can't take that away from him.
No, no, no.
So he's got that. 205.237. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, Team Graphics.
Mike G. Hot on the button there. Burton's second quickest with a 205.3.
So if they were to finish like this, and if the points were to be awarded how they are right now, Luke Hartog would leave this round with a 2-point championship advantage because their roles are completely reversed from yesterday, but having gotten the fast lap.
Hang on. Hang on.
Hanging on.
Ryan Yardley has closed in on the leaders. It's now only 9.6 seconds. So he will definitely go up to second. What about Michael McCann? No, he's 14 seconds back. So Hartog will be in third when the penalty is applied. Out of the final corner and the short run to the checkered flag. Preston has it in hand and waves. And here comes Gustav Burton. Gus Burton takes the victory of the second round of the 2024 Porsche Carrera Cup North America. Luke Hartog on the road is second, but Ryan Yardley coming through now. Wow! Ryan Yardley only got second by 0.3 seconds on the corrected times. He dropped back to 10 seconds away from the leader, which was 0.3 seconds ahead of the 10-second penalty of Luke Hartog. Wow! Hartley almost gifted second place back to Luke Hartog.
Now.
Just off the box, Michael McCann, then Alex Sedgwick, Michael Cooper, Colin Kaminsky, Jimmy Libre in eighth, Dan Clark ninth ahead of Yves Baltas. That's your top ten. Alan Metney ahead of Marco Cironi and Kenton King in Pro-Am as they cross the line.
That's been adjusted.
Correct.
Yep.
So Kenton King is on the podium in his second Porsche Carrera Cup race.
And in Masters, even though he was first across the line, Matt Halkom with that penalty is second. Carlos de Quesada in car number 22
wow.
for Allegra, a single car team, wins the Masters class. Ahead of then, Kyle Washington making it onto the podium.
For GMG, ahead of Scott Blind and John Getz in that category. Well, excitement of an arithmetical kind as well as on the track. That's why Luke Hartog was pushing so hard, not necessarily to get the win, but to try and stretch the gap back to Ryan Yardley. So Gus Burton there, in keeping him behind, has actually cost Luke Hartog, who's going to be one of his championship contenders, a couple of points there, and that could be important. Burton from Yardley, from Hartog, they'll be on the podium. From McCann, Sedgwick, Cooper, Kaminsky, Libra, Clark and Yves Baltas in the top 10, all in the pro category. In fact, the pros go all the way down to Jake Pedersen in 14th. Sabre Cook, a quiet race, but quietly pulling up to 13th position in Pro-Am. Metney, Cerrone and King, after the penalties have been applied, with Peter Ludwig, then Pedro Torres and Jordan Wallace. And in the Masters category, Carlos de Quesada from Matt Holcomb, who led across the line but again had a penalty. Kyle Washington confirmed in third place.
And the biggest thing championship-wise is that by slowing Luke Hartog down just that tiny little bit, Gus Burton leaves here as the championship leader. Whereas if Luke had finished in second, he would have been the championship leader.
Wow.
And they'll be hanging on to that for a month and a half until we get to Miami.
And the Formula One Grand Prix support. Bad luck for Madeline Stewart. Oh. Got hit and turned around. Not her fault at all. Big damage to her car. Good news is she is fine. What a fast Friday we have had. Ending in the darkness. And a very fitting end to the 50th Porsche Carrera Cup North America race. With a lengthy period behind the Carrera White safety car after the cleanup was required. And in the end, Gus Burton wins it from Ryan Yardley on corrected time with Luke Hartog. And Gus leaves Sebring on his way to Miami as the championship leader. We'll see you at the F1 Grand Prix in Miami.
This program is a Radio Show Limited production. For more, check imsaradio.com and subscribe to IMSA Radio wherever you get your podcasts.